Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the podcast and this special double edition this weekend, where I interview both Paloma Estevez and Reed Thomas Lawrence together, who make up the band Sun and the Saint. This time, it's all about Reed, and just like Paloma, he was kind enough to send me a bio. So here we go. Reed Thomas Lawrence is a Central Oregon-born singer, songwriter, and guitarist whose raw, soulful sound was shaped by a youth spent skating, exploring, and playing along to his family's worn vinyl collection. Influenced by legends from Stevie Ray Vaughan to Nirvana, he built his voice through years of touring, writing, and producing across genres. Now based in LA as the co-creator, guitarist, and lead vocalist of Sun and the Saint, Reed channels that restless spirit into cinematic songwriting, balancing grit and vulnerability in a sound that feels both timeless and alive. He's also deeply funny, everybody, and we laughed our way through this conversation. And as you'll hear, he's deeply interested in the mystery that is life. We talk music, we talk fate, we talk all sorts of things, including that Reed really struggled earlier in life and his stories of being a kid in a town that didn't know what to do with him really resonated with me. I told him at the end of the interview that he and Paloma go together like chocolate and peanut butter, and he agreed. I hope you agree too, and I hope you enjoy this conversation. As well, do not miss the Easter egg at the very end of the long form interview. It's just a little bit more of my conversation with Reed and just a little bit of fun that I threw in there at the end. All right, let's get to it. Here's my conversation with Reed Thomas Lawrence.
I was a really wild kid growing up. I mean, I got kicked out of public school 4 or 5 times and then put into private school. And then they tried to homeschool me and that didn't work. And then I got kicked out of the private schools and they tried to put me back in public school and I got kicked out again. And then finally they put me into a Christian school, and the Christian school was just like torture for me. It was like torture, you know, and I would like show up to school wearing like a Slayer t-shirt or a Pantera t-shirt. And I was like a skater kid, you know, so I was just like, and they would be like, we're going to pray for you. And I would just like get under their skin left and right, you know. Yeah, yeah, it was absolutely wild because I wasn't looking for anyone. In fact, I was to a point, I was coming out of a relationship and I was so burnt out on just relationships. And, I came back from Nashville to LA. I'll try to make it really kind of tie it all together really quickly. But like, I came back from Nashville to LA and I had been married for about 9 years. And, we were two different people. She's an amazing person, but we were just trying so hard to fit a square peg in a round hole. And, you know, she sacrificed for me to do music in Nashville, and she kind of worked for a while and I did that. And then I also worked for her so she could do acting here in LA. And, it got to that point where we just went our separate ways. I mean, she kind of gave up on acting. I gave up on music and I got a real job. I got into editing to make money for film and TV. And I got kind of stuck in that world of having a salary gig, working for ad agencies and post-production companies. And it was great. You know, don't get me wrong. I like so grateful because it like paid my bills, but I just was so miserable, like so miserable. I was just like working at this post-production company, very well-known one here in LA, but across the street was Universal Music. And I had been signed to them previously at Interscope Records. And I had to go and park at their parking garage every day at Universal and go to work for a post-production company and sit in an edit bay and do editing that I just was like, this is creative, but it's not me, you know, like it's not music, it's not audio. And so to make a long story short, you know, 9 years of that, 8 years of that, and just being completely losing yourself from music, am me, you know, being single for a long time and then dating and then having bad luck there as well. And being on a mountaintop one day and like running, because I used to run a lot and my back was hurting. I kind of have back stuff every once in a while. And I was just in a bad place. And I was like desperate. I was like, you know, what do you want me to do, God? If you don't want me to do music, what do you want me to do? And it was weird because in that moment, this guy came out of the bushes and he was like barefoot and he was like walking and he had like long black hair down to his waist. Sorry, I don't mean to take this on such a weird like journey, but it's how it happened. It's how it happened with Paloma. So at least I believe it's how it happened. It may be a coincidence, but he came up and he like came right up towards me and I was a little nervous. I was like, you know, I've been around in LA for a while and I know how to watch my back, and he comes and stands right next to me. And I was like, just weirded out by this guy. And he's like, you probably think it's strange that I'm not wearing any shoes. And I was like, it's like, no, it's cool, man. Like, you know, yeah, whatever. And he was like, no. In my culture, my ancestors believe that when you take your shoes off, you connect to the earth and the earth heals your body and you can clear everything in your life and in your mind from connecting to the earth. He's like, that's why so many people in today's world are so in a cloud and so confused and they don't know what to do, is because they've all lost connection to the planet and to the earth. And it was weird. It was like he was talking to me and I was like taking it all in. And I was like, oh, this is really crazy. And then he said, you know, another thing you can do, he's like, you should do it. You should take your shoes off today. And I was like, okay. And he was like, you know, another thing you can do is pick up stones. He's like, everywhere I go up here, I move stones around. And at this point I started to think he was a little crazy, but he was like, you know, I there'll be a stone in front of me and I'll grab it and I'll move it. And he's like, some of the stones I'll blow into the stones and I'll put my intentions into the stone. And then I take the energy from the stone. And he's like, what you don't realize is these stones have been sitting here for hundreds of years, thousands of years. And then you move those stones and it moves the energy. And he says, what happens is if you do this and you barefoot, you start to create this like quantum web of energy all around you, wherever you go. And he says, it like helps you in your life. And then he like kept going. He talked about like mushrooms and peyote. And then he was just like, okay, it was good talking to you. And he like left. And I was just like standing there and I was like, what is happening? Like, and so he left and I just kind of like thought about everything. And I took my shoes off and I hiked the rest of the hike barefoot. And it was like really painful. And I was like, oh God. And then after a second, it just like started to hit me. I was like, oh damn. Like, this is like doing something to me. Like, this is like, something's happening. And so the next day after work, I got off and I was like, I have to go barefoot. And it became like an addiction. And every night after work, I couldn't wait to get off work to go barefoot hike. And it was the weirdest thing. And then all of a sudden, like all this clarity started to come back to me of like music and everything. And then my buddy from another band asked me to play guitar. He was like, you should come and play in my band. I need a guitar player. I know you play. I know you're good. And I had like previously mixed a song for him. So he was like, I know you're like a sound guy and you got to be a great guitar player. Come play with me. So I went and played with him. And that's how I met Paloma. You know, school was so hard for me. I've always thought maybe I might be a little bit on the spectrum because my brain works so differently than everyone else. I mean, I cannot read a book to save my life and remember anything. I have to listen to audio, and I never knew that when I was a kid. I never knew my learning style, even through college. Like I struggled with everything. Everything was so hard. And once I learned that I could listen to audio and remember every single word, I could listen to an audiobook like on double speed and I'll remember everything from the audiobook, like every single thing. I was like, oh my God, like that's it. That's how I learned. So when I got my driver's license, I read the driver's manual all the way through. And then I went back and I listened to it for like 2 or 3 days and I remembered everything. And that's how I passed. But if I had to read through the driver's manual, there's no way. And that was before audiobooks. So I didn't know if I would have had that in school, it would have saved my life. So I always say, like, you know, school for kids is like, I wish they would find a way to cater. I think they are now, but like find a way to cater to each kid, because every kid is so different, you know, and like every kid's learning style is so different. But when I was a kid, I don't know, I guess, you know, I didn't like school. I kind of hated school because of that. And I veered towards art, you know, I painted and I drew, and then I found photography when I was a teenager. And, you know, I just would take pictures and draw pictures, and I was assigned to draw murals on the school wall, and I would get out of class to go and do that. You know, I would always find a way to get out of class to do something art related. But like, yeah, I don't know, when I think back, I guess art, to be like an artist or a painter or a drawer. I mean, I was obsessed with drawing and painting, so I never wanted to be an astronaut or, you know, anything else other than like creative. Like, I was obsessed with art class. That was the only class I liked out of all the classes.
That's awesome. I love that.
I would just
that.
Get so excited for art class. You know, everything else was like just dreading, like, oh God, science, like, oh, math, like, oh God, you know, but art was like, I'm so pumped, you know, because yeah. I knew I would just nail it.
Yeah. I mean, math made me scared. I appreciated that for a lot of it, there were rules. And if I just learned the rules, I was okay.
Yeah.
The rules made me happy, because I thought all I have to do, like your driver's manual, right? You're learning the rules.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
And that made everything easier.
I envy that. I really do. I envy that. Cause I feel like rules to me are so hard. Like it's almost like when somebody says, this is the way you do it, I'm always like, I know that there's an easier way. I know I can like take a different route, and maybe I can break all those rules and like take a back route, or, and a lot of times it makes it even harder for me. Cause I don't know. I've always struggled with the rules, but, I envy that. Cause like, it just seems like everybody else, it was so easy to just follow the steps. And yeah. I'm just like math was just like, oh gosh, it was like pulling teeth, man. I just sit there and like think and like look at it, and it would just be like glazed. And even still, you know, to this day, I'm not, my grandma, she could just do like math in her head. And I was just like, I have no idea how you do that, you know, like hard math problems.
What? Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It would be like 1,000, you know, divided by, I don't even know. Or she would do like multiplication, like 228 times. It would just be, she would know every answer. And I'm like, I can't do that. And my grandpa too, everybody in my family were like good at math, but I just couldn't.
Wow.
So I'm envious of that skill. Cause you know, being too far right brain is a little like, you know, I think you feel like a little bit of an outcast sometimes, cause your brain is wired so differently. And then I was a really wild kid growing up. I mean, I got kicked out of public school 4 or 5 times, and then put into private school. And then they tried to homeschool me, and that didn't work. And then I got kicked out of the private schools, and they tried to put me back in public school, and I got kicked out again. And then finally they put me into a Christian school, and the Christian school is just like torture for me. It was like torture, you know, and I would like show up to school wearing like a Slayer t-shirt or a Pantera t-shirt. And I was like a skater kid, you know, so I was just like, and they would be like, we're going to pray for you. And I would just like get under their skin left and right, you know. And before I played drums, so like before church, I would bring in my double kick pedal, and I would put the double kick, and I would just be playing like metal, you know, trying to like rock out. And I was always trying to like get kicked out of there, you know, but they were the ones that put up with me and like dealt with me for many years. I think I was there for like 2-3 years. And then I think I got kicked out of there too. But, so yeah, I was raised up around, you know, the general belief. And then the Christian school really pounded it into me, because they made us read the Bible, and they got into Revelations, and just, it just was all so like confusing and scary, and like, oh, you know, the end times and all this is going to happen. And I went to a Christian camp, and there was people who they said were possessed, and they had to pray for them. And it was just, it was wild. And it kind of put a bad taste in my mouth with religion. So I think that's why spirituality has always been like my church, you know, has always been like, your own personal connection with source or God or the universe or this presence that is like always with you, you know, which is why I love the NDE stuff, because there's hundreds of thousands of cases of people who have left their bodies and seen what it is and come back to tell, and they can prove it because they tell everybody, hey, I saw what you were wearing. I saw what you were talking about. I saw what the surgeon was saying over here to Nurse Betty about her aunt and uncle and the whole thing that's going on with her family. And they come out and say this, and the people are like, what? Like, how would you know all those details? And there's hundreds of thousands of those cases. So it's like, you know, for me, it's like, I know there's something. I know there's something way more than this physical realm. So,
wish they all could be only California dreams. I could cross that line, headed for summertime, driving up and down the coastline, headed for the sunshine, looking for a smooth ride.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Reed and his sharing about how life has kind of unfurled for him or developed for him, and how he never lost faith or hope that something better would arrive. And you're listening once again to Sun and the Saints, Take Me Back to California. I love this song. It's so great. I can't stop listening to it. So there will be a link in the episode show notes to Sun and the Saints' website, as well as to their YouTube and their Spotify. So be sure to check out all the goodness that these two are bringing into the world. What really struck me about Reed's story was that he was open to the mystery. I mean, I made a little joke about how he was, you know, so polite to just entertain the man who emerged out of the woods. But yeah, there's something about people who grew up in small towns. I did as well. We're very, very polite, and I'd like to think that we're open to the mystery. I'd like to take this moment now, for those of you who have listened to this podcast and are enjoying what you hear, please do consider leaving a rating or writing a little review. Those ratings and reviews help other people find this little labor of love of mine, and you'd have my undying gratitude, which is worth so very much. So there is that. Here's where I'm going to say thank you for listening, and here's my one request. Be like Reed. Be open to the mystery. I mean, I just was listening to his story about being on this run, his back is hurting, and this man comes up and just has this conversation with him, and Reed stays there, and he listens to the man, and he gives the man respect and consideration and his time and his energy, and guess what? As Robert Frost would say, that conversation has made all the difference, because pretty soon, once Reed started kind of bringing these practices into his life, his entire life changed. He got out of a job that wasn't serving him, that didn't feel good, and he's creating and crafting a life of his own even till today. He makes his own rules. He's his own boss. He gets to create beauty each and every day with someone that he deeply cares about. So be like Reed and be open to those opportunities, as strange as they may seem, because you never know where they're going to take you. Until the next time, listeners, I hope your days are filled with laughter, with listening to the Sun and the Saint, and believing that this world is here to make our dreams come true, is here to help us bring beauty into the world, is here to have our backs. That's your homework assignment for this week. And I'll see you so very soon for the very next episode of the podcast.